Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 18th of September, 2011. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at MBC. This week, Tim's continuing our look at Jesus, with Jesus, the mystery of God. And the reading is Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 5. So let's go and join Tim as he's introducing the sermon.
You can see my title. And we're going to be focusing right at the beginning on some words from Colossians. And I haven't put it on the screen. I thought we'd read it from the Bible. That's unusual, isn't it? So if you want to find one of the Bibles hidden under the chairs, dust it off, just in case it hasn't been used for a while. And we're going to look up Colossians chapter 1, and beginning at verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 24. And if you want a page number, it's 1183. 1183. Okay. Okay. From verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Now, if you were reading from the NIV and from the church Bibles, you'll have noticed that that passage is sort of headed, Paul's Labour for the Church. And you know what? I have in my mind a really annoyed Paul, okay? I have in my mind this really frustrated apostle who says, no, that's not what I'm getting at. Because, of course, he didn't write that. He didn't write Paul's Labour for the Church. Some bright spark in the last century or so decided that's what they'd call it. And I think Paul would be really disappointed and fed up for that title. Because Paul actually wanted people to focus on something else. And all he did was he used his own situation and his life of service to God to illustrate the important point that he was trying to make. And that's why I've called this morning the mystery of God, not Paul's labour for the church, because that's really not what he was wanting us to get hold of. And the thing is, that mystery of God is a mystery which transforms suffering and persecution from something that is just endured to something to be welcomed as a gift, because it ties us in to that incredible suffering of Jesus. It connects us with all that Jesus went through. And that's the whole point that Paul was trying to make. It's not about me. It's about him. And that's where our focus needs to be. The Message translation helps us to sort of get this across a little bit. I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world, the kind of suffering that Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to share, to take my share in the church as part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift. God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. Now, I want to say quite sort of, you know, simply to begin with, only an idiot welcomes suffering. Okay? Can you get that clear? Only an idiot welcomes suffering. And anybody who likes suffering is mad. But there is something quite specific about what Paul was trying to say. Only somebody who's been transformed by the power of Jesus can welcome the suffering that comes because of the truth about him. That's a completely different situation. And in fact, when we think of our world and we think of the persecuted church in other places around our world, we're so amazed by their faith and their incredible confidence in Jesus, because there's something in their suffering that makes them more dependent on Jesus. Something that draws them to actually experience more of God's love and power and passion in their own walk with Jesus. So don't welcome suffering unless it's in relation to the suffering that comes because we're Christians. We'll deal with suffering another time in a general sense. But what Paul was trying to say was that after years of suffering and difficulty, and remember, he's writing these words while he's in prison. He's not a free man here. He's actually in prison. Even with all of that, all of those tricky times that he has gone through, Paul is so excited at being part of God's plans and purposes. And it gives him a vision which is never beaten by his circumstances. His vision rises above everything that he has to go through. And he continues to be committed, because actually this is about knowing and growing in who Jesus is. And that's something that we've been unpacking together over the last few weeks. And today's the last one. Sorry. It's the last one in our series thinking about specifically the person of Jesus. And this is the Jesus who actually deals with the past, inhabits our present, and is the ultimate security for our future. That's why this passage shouldn't be headed Paul's labour for the church. It should be headed Jesus, the mystery of God. And the first thing I really want you to grasp hold of this morning is that the mystery is out. God is revealed. Do you want to read with me if you can read that? Sorry, it's a little light, isn't it? This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery, in a nutshell, is this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. And you know, Paul, in his day and generation, there was all sorts of different religious thinking going on. And a lot of that thinking was about secret wisdom, a bit like conspiracy theories of today. And it was a common theme among all the heresies and the untruths that were being promoted in Paul's time. And I think it's fantastic. Paul uses the same images and ideas to communicate the truth. He takes his popular culture and what people generally were thinking at his time, and he says, it's not quite as you've thought, but I'll use the same images and ideas to tell people about Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? That's actually what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look at our culture and find ways of communicating Jesus into our culture. That's what Alpha is all about. So if you haven't invited someone, make sure you do, because it starts on Tuesday. Okay? So it's not long to invite people now. But the reality is that Paul was dealing with all of these sort of ideas and difficulties about secret wisdom. And just like our day and generation, where New Age philosophies and, you know, the idea that God's within us and all sorts of funny ideas that are floating around. And he cut through all of those. And he said, look, the secret that used to be hidden is now out there. It's this Jesus who is the secret. And all of those who like conspiracy theories, well, this is the conspiracy theory. And you know it really well. This is the reality of the secret. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And as we've just read, there's no barriers here. It's Jews and Gentiles. It's men and women. It's young and old. The secret is available and being realized in the lives of ordinary people all the way around the world today. Isn't that fantastic? The secret is out. And the thing is, Christ in you means more than knowing what Jesus said. It means more than knowing Jesus' words by heart. It means more than an intellectual agreement with Jesus' morality and that we should love one another. It is more than that. It's about having that personal relationship with the Spirit of the risen Jesus actually in residence within us. Now, that is a mystery, isn't it? That is a mystery. That God himself, who created the whole world and the entire universe, makes himself part of us by his Spirit. Isn't that incredible? If that's not a mystery, I don't know what is. It's certainly almost unfathomable in our heads. But that is the truth. And it's a mystery, but it's unlike the muddled thinking of many religious ideas, because it relies not on our own goodness or our ability to do anything, but it relies totally on the actual presence and work of God, not us. That almost should have had a hallelujah at the end. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him. And that's why over these last few months we've been looking at Jesus. And we've looked at Jesus in lots of different ways. I said in the first service I was going to do a test. I was going to test you to see how many of you could remember what we've looked at. And then I thought it would be really embarrassing, because preachers like to think people remember what you say. So it would be really embarrassing when you couldn't come up with three. So I thought I'd be kind, okay? Here's a reminder of the Jesus we've been exploring. We thought about Jesus being our sacrifice, and we went really historic and went all the way back to the tabernacle and the temple. Do you remember that? We talked about Jesus being the eternal one, that actually Jesus existed before anything. And so we can have confidence in him. We talked about Jesus being the victor, and it's not about us having victory. It's about, if you like, hanging on to the coattails of Jesus and living in the light of his victory. But because he's already done it, we can be confident and assured, and we can live free. We talked about Jesus being our priest and all that that conveys into our experience. We talked about Jesus being our advocate, and that image of us in a courtroom. And we've been acquitted. Fantastic news. And Jesus being our leader and what that actually means in our daily lives, to live our lives with him being in charge of who we are. We thought about Jesus being the wisdom of God. We'll pick up something of that a little bit later. Jesus, our provider, that everything that we require and need, he offers into our experience and our lives. We talked about Jesus being our forgiver, that we are renewed and transformed and changed because we're free and we don't have to be held back. That Jesus is our judge, and that conveyed in that is not a sense of trepidation or pain, but a sense of victory and joy, because his judgment is just and right and perfect, and we have been renewed. Now, I think you should be excited by now. Could you just pinch the person next to them to make sure they're awake? Okay? Because the thing is, Jesus is that focus that we need to take hold of. Jesus is the one who has achieved all these things on our behalf. And Jesus is here today to meet with us again. Because the reality is that truth. The mystery is in every believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory, the indwelling of Jesus among even Gentiles like us. You know, we weren't first choice, don't forget it. We were second best. But we've been made children of God because of Jesus. A new day has dawned, guys, that is going to eclipse every other belief and experience. And someone once did a really useful analysis of all of the letters that Paul wrote. And here's just a few thoughts. It's not perfect, but I think it's a really good one. In Romans, we are justified in Christ. In 1 Corinthians, we are enriched in Christ. In 2 Corinthians, we are comforted in Christ. In Galatians, we are free in Christ. Feel free to get excited at any point. In Ephesians, we are quickened in Christ. In Philippians, we are happy in Christ. And in Colossians, we are complete in Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Colossians proclaims that we are able to be made completely whole in the Jesus we have come to honour this morning. The hope we have is not based on the good or the bad experiences we may know now or in the future. It's not related to those transitory things that take place in our experience. I was talking to Emma yesterday. Sorry, Emma. And Emma's been struggling with horrible illness for a long time. And what's happened?
I've been healed.
Yes! Do you know what? Emma's security and Emma's hope and Emma's confidence is not impacted by the fact she's now not in pain. Because while she was in pain, she still had her hope and her confidence and her reality in Jesus. But I'm really glad you're healed. It's great. Thing is that our hope is not based in our circumstances, whether they're good or whether they're bad. They're based in Jesus, and so they cannot be moved. The hope we have is based on the victory which has already been achieved for us through the historical events of Jesus' death and resurrection. Here's another thought. The mystery is deeper than we have known. You know, when I was called to my previous church at Chillingfold, one of the people who was very instrumental in actually feeling, yes, that's the right place to go, was a really old guy in his 80s who he just had this incredible attitude. And I thought, well, if he's like that and there's others like that in that church, I want to be there. And his attitude was, I haven't got there yet. He said that repeatedly. He was a really old guy. He'd been a Christian for donkey's years. And yet he always said, I haven't got there yet. Have we got there yet?
No.
The thing is, the mystery is deeper than we have known. And there is more of this Jesus for us to unwrap and to untangle and to understand, to grasp and to move into. And the teaching of the apostles, and in particular Paul, they're not shallow. And it's not always easy. And Paul's preaching, his teaching, can be summed up in the words found in Acts chapter 20. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. This is the wisdom which is from above, which releases people to experience the glory and the wonder of God now. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And Paul keeps talking in terms of the all of everything. He talks about all wisdom. And what he's trying to get across is the fact that this is a once and for all time revelation which supersedes any other wisdom there might be. He continues this later in the letter. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's that little word again. The source of everything we need to understand and to apply reality into our lives. I want to make a little distinction here, which if you find it helpful, great. If you don't, just ignore it and we'll move on to the next thing. And it's this. Wisdom is the comprehensive view of the truth of God given by the Spirit of God. If you like, the really big picture. Wisdom is the whole body of it all together. Knowledge is the particular application of those truths in any given situation. Does that make sense? So it's a bit like you've got a whole library of stuff. But you know, you don't need the whole library every day, do you? You just need that particular book to help you with that particular issue and situation. And wisdom and knowledge are like that. Wisdom and knowledge just like that. And so wisdom is spiritual insight and knowledge are specific truths of the gospel to help in a given situation. And true knowledge springs from wisdom, which has its source in Jesus. As H.M. Carson wrote, all the treasures, the sum total of the wealth of wisdom and knowledge, are found in him. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? Verse 3 said, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The word there about being hidden isn't suggesting that they're unavailable, but simply that we need to grow in our knowledge and experience of Jesus if we're going to uncover the depth of their meaning and their significance. So we've got a little bit more growing to do. The Message translation helps to get this across. Do you want to read it with me again? All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. And what Paul's trying to say is, don't let your focus go. Because there's all sorts of ideas and thoughts out there. And we live in a generation where people have a habit of saying, well, I like a little bit of Buddhism. That seems a nice idea. And I quite like a little bit of this one. Yeah, that's a nice idea. And I'll stick that into my little personal collection. And well, Jesus said some nice things, so I might take those. I don't like those things, he said. We'll ignore those. And people make up their own personal belief system. It's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. Because Jesus says, all knowledge and wisdom is found where? In him. And what Paul is trying to communicate to us here is, don't get diverted off where your focus should be. Don't allow yourself to drift away from the centrality of unpacking what Jesus is. Because it's only in unpacking him that we're going to find all of those things that are going to help us in our life situations. Realize the secret is deeper than we have yet known. There's more. The mystery challenges us to action. Paul gives us a challenge to do something with the mystery that's been received. It's no longer a secret. It's fully available to be held and owned by every person who follows Jesus. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you feel complete? Look at the person next to you. Just check whether they're complete yet. Now, some of us are more complete in some ways than we want to be. But I'm not talking about how big we are or small we are. I think all of us can honestly look at ourselves and our lives and our understanding and say, I'm not there yet. There's more for me to know. And some of us actually even need to go backwards. No, that sounds odd. But some of us actually need to get back to the place where we really love Jesus. We've got to get back to the place where when he asked us to do something, we just said yes, without all of the add-on, well, if you, or but if, and you've got to do that first. It's true, isn't it? We need to come back to our first love of Jesus. Paul said this, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Now, if you want to put those into bullet points, I find it helpful sometimes to just say, okay, what's that mean then? I want to suggest these, and you can take them home with you and chew them over, okay? Get strong. That's what Paul's saying. Get strong in the power of the truth of Jesus, of who he is and what he wants to do. Don't let anything false or seemingly attractive divert you from your focus. But let the full power of Jesus' truth make you strong. Make you strong. Get together. Remember it said, be encouraged in heart and united in love. Get together. You know, church is not a good idea. Church is the idea of how we should live. It's not an optional extra. Get together. Unite under the banner of Jesus. The Message helps to convey this, and I love this version of Colossians 2:2. I want you woven into a tapestry of love. Isn't that great? I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. I love that phrase. It's great. And the reality is, God has set us up so that we do not contain everything, but the person next to us might have just what we need. That's what church is about. And if we're not deeply connected, if we're not members, I'm going to say it really boldly, if you're not a member of Minehead Baptist Church, you're in rebellion. Because God says you should be part of the church. Now, I know people moan about, you know, official organisations and structures, and well, they didn't have membership, all this nonsense. But the reality is, the way we're set up, we have members or we don't have members. If you're not a member, it means you're not actually 100% committed to the family. And that is a challenge. I throw it out there because it drives me mad. But what the scripture says is you need to be united in love. If you don't like the system, get over it. Let's be united in love. United under the banner of Jesus. Woven into the tapestry of love. Isn't it good? There's another one. You know that we've got that little catchphrase we sometimes talk about, that we should be go, grow and go. That's part of what our church is sort of aiming to be. We grow on a Sunday and we go midweek. That's the sort of broad spectrum of it. And Paul says exactly the same. It's not new. Nothing's ever new when church life, is it? Just reinvent it in a different way and give it a new slogan. But what Paul says is get growing. By delving into the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus. Learning to respond to the prompting of God's Spirit in us. And grasping the truths of this amazing Jesus who God has given for us. And if we do these three things, you can forget the rest of the sermon. That's the good news. But if you can remember those three, it would be quite helpful. Get strong. Get together. Get growing. If we can get those right, do you think we can make a difference where God's placed us? Can Can we make a difference to this community and this area? Can we begin to see God's kingdom coming in greater ways? I pray so. Now, Paul finished the passage we've been thinking of with this lovely affirmation. For though I'm absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Wouldn't that be great if that could be a description of us? To see how firm your faith in Christ is.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.